The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So given that it's July 3rd, and it's the day before 4th of July, Independence Day, it's a nice cozy crowd. So I was thinking about what to reflect together about. So the theme of independence and interdependence came up for me today. And so I wanted to share a little bit about that. And what I like to do is to share some reflections. And then in celebration of both independence and interdependence, to invite more conversation and wisdom from the group to arise later in the talk. So, because I'm going to be sharing my reflections, but there's so much wisdom in this room about independence and the meaning of interdependence. So I want to learn from you. That's an invitation. So just to let you know what's kind of going to be unfolding. So first to set the... I'll just jump into it. I had some other thing I wanted to share, but I usually have too much material to share. So anyway, I'll save that other part. You're hearing my internal dialogue. Okay. So, all right, here we go. So the theme of independence, you know, independence sounds like a good thing, doesn't it, in general, to be independent, yeah? And actually the theme of independence shows up a lot in the teachings, as I'll talk about in a moment. So it's not just relevant as a society, as a culture, as a country, as conflicted as we might be, but also it's relevant in a personal way, this idea of independence. But I think it only makes sense in light of interdependence. So both to be valued and embraced. I think it's not one versus the other, but anyway, this is my thoughts I'll be sharing. So independence. So I looked up these different aspects of what the word independence or independent mean in a dictionary. So I want to offer you a few different aspects to just reflect upon in your own life. Some seem like desirable perspectives, some desirable aspects from dictionary.com to give credit. And some are actually interesting aspects if we want to try them on for size. So independent, adjectives. Not influenced or controlled by others in matters of opinion or conduct, etc. Thinking or acting for oneself, such as an independent thinker. Okay, let's try that on for size. How does that feel? Okay. Not being influenced or controlled by others in matters of opinion and conduct, acting for oneself. Okay. So let that one go. Let's try another one on. Number two. Not subject to another's authority or jurisdiction, autonomous, free, such as an independent businessman. So not subject to another's authority, jurisdiction, autonomous, and the word free comes in. Try that on for size. How does that feel? Feeling independent. The third one, not influenced by the thought or action of others, such as independent research. Seems interesting to me, at least, as a research scientist, kind of like independent research, instead of research being funded by an agency that wants a particular outcome, right? It seems like a good thing. Number four, try this on. Oh yeah, this is interesting. Not depending or contingent upon something else for existence. That's an interesting one, yeah? As a definition, not dependent on or contingent upon something else for existence? Really? Right? Okay, that's an interesting one. Really? Are we, again, to share my contemplation, if I try it on for size for me, of course, my existence is dependent on so many other things. So that's an interesting definition. Here's another one to try on. Number 5, not relying on another or others for aid or support. That's an interesting one, right? So hold, keep number 5 because I'm going to come back to number 5. Number 6, rejecting others' aid or support. Ooh, refusing to be under obligation to others. Whoa, that's an interesting definition of independence, right? I mean, you don't have to accept all these. It's just kind of sit with them, right? And number 7, this is kind of an old usage, but possessing a competency, for example, to be financially independent. So remember number 5 and 6. I'm going to come back to these in terms of not relying on others, refusing, not obligations. Let's keep those. Those are interesting ones. So, okay, having consulted with dictionary.com, so now let's move on to a few other reflections about where this idea of independence shows up in the teachings of the Buddha, which actually shows up a lot. It's very interesting. So it shows up in Satipatthana Sutta, which is the 4 foundations of mindfulness sutta, the teachings of the Buddha, which is a foundational teaching, a foundational sutta from which the various instructions of mindfulness, whether you practice it in the secular context or in the Buddhist context, it's from that sutta, from those teachings, that the teachings of mindfulness are drawn. So it's a really foundational teaching, the Satipatthana Sutta. And in the Satipatthana Sutta, there are 4 different parts, 4 foundations of mindfulness. And after every subpart, there is a refrain that repeats. And that refrain, some people say that that's the most important teaching because it shows up, I think, let's see if I remember, maybe 11 times, I think 11 times. It shows up 11 times after every sub-teaching in the subtext, because the first foundation has 5 parts, 5 or 6, I can't remember now. Anyway, the refrain shows up a lot. And given that the teachings, the Buddhism was passed down orally, so what was important would be repeated over and over and over again. Okay, so now that I've made you curious about this refrain that is so important that kept being repeated after every section in the Satipatthana Sutta, okay, what does the refrain say? The refrain says, one abides independent, not clinging to anything in the world. Ah, interesting. Abiding independent, not clinging anything to the world. So in a way, that this is describing the ultimate goal, which is the point of the various exercises in the Satipatthana Sutta, in 4 foundations of mindfulness, to abide independently, abide independent, not clinging to anything in the world. So what could that mean? What could that mean, abiding independent? So it could be a mind that is not attached to any experience that's arising. So there are a lot of experiences that are arising in awareness, but the mind isn't clinging to them. They're coming and going. So actually, let's try this on for size for a moment. Okay, close your eyes, if you would, for a moment. So get into your meditation posture if that's more comfortable for you. We'll just do this for a couple moments, this guided piece. So sit comfortably. Just settle in with your breath. Settling in, breathing out. And now, for a moment, bring up to mind something that you really want right now, you really want in your life, there's a lot of wanting, grasping, or something that you really don't want, something you really want to get rid of. So something you want could be something that happened, what you would like to happen. Something you don't want maybe is something you're fearing, dreading, or an interaction. You're upset with someone. There is some friction, pushing away. So something that either you're really pulling towards or you're pushing away, and really get a sense of it. Really feel what it feels like in your mind, in your body. And for the purpose of this exercise, just really feel that, that wanting or not wanting. Really squeeze it. What does that feel like in the mind, in the body? Just experience it. It's an experiment. We're going to let it go in a moment, but just experience, observe, notice. Okay, now let that go. Let it go. Take a deep breath. Feeling your breathing in the body. Feeling the spaciousness. When this body is relaxed and isn't really tight and holding on to an idea, the body can be soft. There can be a moment of ease right here in this moment. Just a moment of ease, spaciousness. And noticing all the space around you in this room. There's a lot of space. Space to sit, to breathe. Letting the body be soft and relaxed. As if you were sitting on an easy chair, feeling the coolness of the evening as it's coming. Maybe it's a rocking chair, just relaxed, rocking back and forth. Maybe you're on a porch, just that sense of ease. That sense of ease. Now, imagine actually you are sitting on a porch and it's a summer afternoon as it is here in Redwood City and it's getting cool and nice and pleasant. And now this concern, this worry, this wanting, this not wanting, it's like a little passerby who just walks by. You keep rocking in your rocking chair, relaxed, abiding, independent. You see it pass by. It's not going to come and sit on your lap. It's just going to walk by and you just observe it. Keep rocking. And now you can let that go also. You can let that go. Few more breaths, and when you're ready to open your eyes and come back to the room. So one meaning of abiding independently could be things are still there, but the mind isn't caught. The mind can be in that peace and ease as if in a rocking chair, and things can be there, not be drawn towards them or pushing them away. So basically, when awareness becomes very strong and stable in this way, the mind can find freedom from what is known. It can still be known, but the mind can have freedom. So I wonder, this little exercise that we did together, what you noticed? If any of you would like to, would be willing to share what you observed.
So, my name is Sylvie. When I thought about, I took something that I want, uh-huh. And it was quite painful, actually. I really felt shocked, and like a migraine was coming. Mm. But then you said release, it was like, whew, I can breathe. But I was like, wow, I did never realize that it put myself in that tension. I mean, I don't know if in general I want it so bad, but you said squeeze it, right?
Sorry.
So it was quite intense.
Yeah. And by the way, sometimes it is good to actually squeeze it a little bit to realize how strong that wanting already is, but we don't see it, because this way the pain of it becomes unavoidable. You really get to see it.
Yes.
Yeah. And you were saying?
But then I was wondering how when I was on a rocking chair and I was just like letting it go, I could do it. But I was like, how do you, that's like a question from like overachiever, right? If you really want to achieve something, like you just can't let it go by. It's just like, oh, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
How do you, you know, reconcile this kind of tension? It's kind of like, yeah, I can let it go, but so am I just going to like not achieve all the things I want to achieve, yeah. And just be like relaxed?
Right, right.
Like, I'm wondering how you reconcile those two.
Yeah, it's a good question. So I'll address this. And so it's really the difference between clinging and the strength of that wanting. I mean, there's nothing wrong with intention, and I mean, the word wanting is kind of strange, because really what the problem is that thirst, is that tanha in Pali, is that clinging, like, oh, I really want this and it hurts, right? But there's nothing wrong with wholesome intention and wholesome desire, which is also can be translated to wanting. It's different kind of wanting. It comes from a different place. It's expectation versus aspiration or inspiration, right? And inspiration, aspiration, it lifts you up. It's you're inspired to achieve in that way, whereas it's the expectation, like, I want this. It's just a different feeling in the body. So the idea is not to give up desire or wanting in that way, but to really recognize that, ouch of it. So,
I think this is fascinating. Do you have an exercise to feel that? Because like I really feel like I would like to actually want in that relaxed way.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't think I am.
Yeah. So the exercise, actually, what I suggested, I would suggest continue with this in terms of recognizing the ouch of it, the wanting. So, and we can talk more about it afterwards. Yeah. So the idea of of independence in the suttas basically synonymous for nibbana, synonymous for liberation, synonymous for freedom. I mean, that is the idea of abiding independently as everything arises and passes away. I wanted to actually share one example from earlier today. So I've taken some medication recently that has messed up my microbiome, I think, and I've been dealing with a lot of stomach pain recently. So today, as I was contemplating with independence and interdependence, I was sitting with earlier today in meditation with a lot of pain and thinking, okay, this idea of abiding independently without clinging to anything, okay, there's a lot of physical pain. So how do these ideas work together? I mean, I'm not enlightened, I'm not claimed to be, but this is a practice. And also just to say that, again, enlightenment is not something far out there that someday maybe we'll achieve. It's actually much more accessible. It's freedom here and now, freedom from stomach pain, so that it's still there but doesn't bother you, or you want something but you're not totally caught up in it. So their freedom in all these ways are achievable in daily life, not to consider freedom and liberation independently abiding as, oh, that's just reserved for really, really advanced serious practitioners and monks who practice for like 10, 20 years. No, otherwise we wouldn't be practicing. It's available to you as your mind turns to it. So this example I wanted to offer today, so I was sitting with the pain, sitting with the pain, like, okay, just sitting with it, sitting, and at some point there wasn't any resistance to the pain. My mind wasn't trying to push it away. It was just sitting with it. There wasn't any a second arrow of, oh, why is this here, blah, 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 I shouldn't have taken that medication, but there wasn't any, it was just like, okay, discomfort, pain, 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 pain. Yep, pain, 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 labeling, pain, pain, pain. And then at some point, just sitting, breathing with it, patiently, something switched that seemed like there was peace underneath, there was stability and a lot of peace underneath. The pain was still there, but it was a feeling of, oh, there was peace is there, abiding independently is available if the mind kind of turns to it, to the possibility of it. The pain can be there and be held in this spaciousness, in this peace. So I wanted to say a few things about interdependence, but before moving on, I wanted to come back to, if you remember, with independence, I put a footnote next to not relying on another, the couple of definitions of independence, which is not relying on another and refusing, rejecting other people's help, etc. So what that reminded me of actually today was this song that I heard when I had moved to the U.S. I moved to the U.S. when I was 16. And soon after that, I heard this song, which is called I Am a Rock by Paul Simon, which really affected me, the lyrics of it. Really, really affected me. So I wanted to share this, to share the lyrics with you, because I think the idea of independence is not I Am a Rock. How's that? As a negative. So which part of it did I want to share with you? Oh, yeah. Oh, here it is. I've built walls, a fortress deep and mighty. Sorry, my voice is not as good as Paul Simon. I've built walls, a fortress deep and mighty, that none may penetrate. I have no need of friendship. Friendship causes pain. Its laughter and its loving I disdain. I am a rock, I am an island. Don't talk of love, but I've heard the words before. It's sleeping in my memory. I won't disturb the slumber of feelings that have died. If I never loved, I would have never cried. I am a rock, I'm an island. I have my books and my poetry to protect me. I am shielded in my armor, hiding in my room, safe within my womb. I touch no one and no one touches me. I am a rock, I am an island, and a rock feels no pain, and an island never cries. Ouch. ouch, the last two lines especially, ouch. So that's not the idea of independence, right? Just wanted to offer that. I think it's pretty clear, but really I think that for me is a transition to the idea of interdependence. Because the idea of independence, if you think of abiding in independently without clinging to anything, it just seems like, oh yeah, you're in your own island, you're a rock, nothing touches you. And that's not the idea. That's not the realization of liberation. I think the idea also is interdependence, which is another major teaching in this tradition, which is Paticca Samuppada, which is translated as dependent origination, dependent arising, or interdependent co-arising. Interdependent co-arising, which basically means that everything, all things arise in dependence to everything else. And the kind of the formula, like the mathematical formula in the text is, if this exists, that exists. If this ceases to exist, that also ceases to exist. It's actually a very pragmatic teaching that applies to many aspects of the practice. So interdependent co-arising, just interdependent of so many things that exist and arise. So one aspect of that actually is the idea of interbeing, which was introduced by Thich Nhat Hanh. How many people have heard of interbeing by Thich Nhat Hanh? Okay, a bunch of people. So the idea that Thich Nhat Hanh introduced as interbeing is, this is the way he puts it in a very poetic way. He says, if you are a poet, you will see clearly that there is a cloud floating in this sheet of paper. Without a cloud, there will be no rain. Without rain, then trees cannot grow. And without trees, we cannot make paper. The cloud is essential for the paper to exist. If the cloud is not there, the sheet of paper cannot be there either. So we can say that the cloud and the paper are inter-are, or inter-being. So that's one aspect of interbeing, that things don't exist independent of other things in general in this world. I mean, if you think of, for example, what you ate today or what you're wearing right now, everything that had to happen in order for what you're wearing to be here, just all the cause and conditions, all the chains, everything that had to happen for this to be manufactured, et cetera, delivered, created, just it gets kind of overwhelming and mind-boggling, the aspect of interdependence, interbeing. But perhaps the most important aspect of this idea of interbeing is that our self, this person that we think we are, does not exist independently of all the cause and conditions, everything that has come before it, and everything that our being coexists with. So are what we take to be us, this independent, you know, Nikki person, for example. Well, it turns out that my well-being depends on so many things, that what I take to be I, my independent I, depends, for example, on the microbiome in my gut, which is 10 times as many genetic material, or 3 times or 1 times as many genetic material as is in this body, are the bacteria that hang out in my body. And the amazing things that they do is that they break down food, they release energy, and they produce vitamins. And if this bacteria, which is not is bacteria, is not my genetic material, right? But it's the bacteria that lives in my, by the way, in your microbiome too, of course. So we're hosting lots and lots of bacteria, other things. So this idea of independence, I mean, what we take to be us, our mind, our bodies, is dependently co-arising with so many other factors, some of them being the little bacteria, as well as so many other things. So before I actually invite more reflections and comments from you, I wanted to share one quote from an Indigenous Australian or Murray artist, activist, and academic. And this is Lila Watson, who said, "If you have come here to help me, you are wasting your time. But if you have come because your liberation is bound up with mine, then let us work together." So, I mean, our liberation is bound up together. It's this idea of independence, embracing independently arising. I think the idea of independence is embracing wisdom. So there is wisdom to not be caught up in what arises in our mind and bodies all the time, not to take it so personally. But then love arises from recognizing interbeing and interdependence, because my liberation and freedom is bound up in yours. And without if I thought it's just all about me, it doesn't exactly work that way. It's if you've noticed, practice doesn't work that way. Life doesn't work that way. The more actually, the wiser we become, the calmer we become, we get to see all the ways in which our lives are interconnected and interdependent. And our freedom, our happiness is really intertwined with everybody else around us. So there's more I can say, but actually I'd like to pause for a moment and open the floor for your reflections, your thoughts about independence, about interdependence, anything that you'd like to share or comment on or ask. If you would kindly share your wisdom.
Is this on? Okay, good. A few years ago, I went through a kind of lengthy illness, and I thought that the illness was kind of mine. That I was kind of that there's kind of this independence sort of thing. But the interesting thing to me was that. As I got well, my whole family got well with me, you know, and it was really shocking and dramatic the way that I kind of thought that I was just dealing with this, you know, and I didn't realize just how much everyone else. It's just been great that everyone else kind of recuperated along with me. So I thought that was something to say.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah. What are thoughts on what does independence mean to you? What does interdependence mean to you?
After this talk, so independence or independence, it's dependent. I start to think of it as almost more affirming dependence in dependence instead of independently. So I just, it's almost like all of these definitions is the opposite of, so that's what the interdependent. So I think the tra belongs in the independence.
The what belongs?
The intra is, yeah, like independence is, it's maybe just making distinction of, like, I'm dependent on everything.
Yeah.
The independence is just the small distinctions.
Yeah, yeah.
And some of them described in very narrow frames in a dictionary definition.
Right, right. Yeah.
But the concept, it's almost, it means the opposite. It's to be in the dependence.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. We are in dependence.
Yeah.
To everything and everyone else, basically, and so many things. Yeah, yeah.
That's, yeah, just a new way to think of the word.
Yeah. So I appreciate the way you're playing around with the words and the way it's landing for you, because that is the truth of interdependence, of our lives, to really realize that and when it hits home. And also in this practice, we can realize interdependence more fully and be of more service and benefit to the world when we have a level of independence of the world in our minds. You see? So one definition of a wise person is someone who's of benefit to themselves, to others, and the world, right? So in order to become a wise person who's of benefit to oneself, others, and the world, there has to be some stability, mm-hmm, right? Stability of mind, so one can be of benefit. And that stability is that idea that here is shared as abiding independently. So it's interesting.
It's very much context associated.
Yeah.
It's what's the context that,
right,
it's this, the experience of dependence or lack of dependence,
right, exactly,
means.
Yeah.
And making this distinction.
Exactly.
It just depends on
what we mean.
What is the
nuances.
Yeah,
yeah. Thank you. Over there.
I'm Morgan. And so really, if you try to be independent in the dictionary way, you're losing the ability to be abidingly independent.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Because if you go for to be the rock,
right,
you're not gaining the wisdom to be actually independent. It's like conflict, like completely opposite.
It's actually interesting, Miriam, because there are a few, of these where it's kind of like, as I was reading the dictionary definition, I was picking and choosing the ones that worked for me. Like, not being, the first one, not influenced or controlled by others in matters of opinion. I kind of like that one, right? Because there is a sense of not, you know, if not giving one's peace away to others, just to be liked or approved of or to have the same opinion, to have that independence, right? So there is something there that is valuable, right? And especially, you know, the extreme example would be if there is a group that is acting unwisely, and many times in group psychology that can actually happen. Oh, can you be the one who stays independent in your wise action and hold down the calmness, hold down the fort? So in that way, that there are a few definitions that can be helpful. Yeah, thank you. Maybe we have time for one more thought. Yeah, please.
Every Monday, I come here and sit for 45 minutes to meditate. And in the process, I actually sit in trying to break every boundaries I have to be in union with the world. So I basically break away everything that is what, by definition, independence.
So you break,
because what makes me as person is all the stuff that makes me independent.
Uh-huh.
Because it's me, It's all of my independence.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a drop of water in the ocean, independent from the rest of the ocean.
Hmm. Yeah. So great. So the way, again, depends on how we're using the... It's very nuanced using these words, right? Because you are describing realizing your interdependence, right? And as I was mentioning, there are different definitions in the dictionary of the word independence. So dropping, for example, your rejecting others' aid or thinking that you don't need anybody else, dropping that, wonderful, wonderful, right? It's that becomes a realization of interdependence, which is exactly as you were saying, being a drop in the ocean, realizing, I'm part of this ocean. I'm not a separate drop just hanging out. Yeah, I'm, right? So that's exactly that. And in order to realize that you are a drop in the ocean, this powerful, beautiful ocean that's humanity, it does require some stability of mind, which is the 45 minutes that you sit to actually see that. And that's the independence of mind before, without being jostled in the waves. So, yeah, we're great. We're speaking the same language, they're using different words. It's all good. Thank you. Great. Well, the time has come for us to go and celebrate our independence, interdependence with other walkers and drivers and people on the road. Thank you so much for being here tonight and for practicing. May you be well.